Ever notice how feline family members take a back seat to dogs by most pet insurance companies? Yeah, that chafes me. Cats have feelings too, and it's just wrong. But hold your horses. I got some good news here. FelixCatInsurance.com is doing something about it. They call it whisker-to-tail protection. Because, look, our cats don't actually have nine lives, and accidents and things can happen anytime. Felix Cat Insurance has plan options for cats of all ages, and it covers accidents, illnesses, emergency care, and more. Best part? Plans start at under $1 per day. Customizable coverage exclusively for felines. FelixCatInsurance.com. No dogs allowed. Well, hold up. This ain't over yet. Roll that legal stuff.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. For all terms and limitations, visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
It's actually funny because it still happens. As long as I've been in this business, I still have people, even in the last few hours, who accuse me of A, hating the Bills, and B, hating the Browns. That's how it goes with passionate fan bases. They get lost in their emotions, and no one's ever accused a sports fan of being logical or rational or sane in the throes of emotion and the heat of the moment. So, yes, I take it. I get it. What you really want to do is take it out on someone. It's misplaced aggression. That's what it is when it comes from sports fans. Honestly, I really do not care who wins or loses. I'm always looking at storylines and trying to come up with new angles and human interest elements to the story. I love redemption stories. I just love good stories. And we get so many in sports. It's never the same, which is also one of my favorite things about the job, which is why we have an extraordinary category from the sports world where only the most astounding developments find themselves. Things we've never seen before. Well, this weekend in the NFL certainly was that. Now that we have Monday Night Football in the books, I was going to say the dust has settled, but I'm not sure it has yet. I think there's still plenty of fallout to come. There's plenty of ashes, actually, after the Bills crashed and burned to the ground. There's still ash flying around. But after Monday Night Football, the final numbers are this. 11 of 14 NFL games this weekend, week 10, were decided by a single score. 8 points or fewer. 11 of them. Most of them were decided by 3, 4, 2, 1 points. And 6 of them, including Monday Night Football, were settled by a jump around field goal. That's what I call the walk-offs. Walk-off is boring. They don't actually walk. They jump, they leap, they raise their kicker into the air. So the jump around field goals, 6 games, including Monday night. But as Josh Allen said afterwards, it never should have gotten to that point, and he is right. The Buffalo Bills have no one to blame but themselves. You play with fire. To continue my burn down analogy, you play with fire, you are going to see something burn eventually. And the Bills are now sitting at 5-5. You could argue from now until the cows come home that they're better than their record says, but that doesn't matter. Or they should be better than their record says, but that doesn't matter. You are what your record says you are. And they have so many mistakes and miscues and mishaps. They have zero margin for error. In years past, this was a team that could screw up on one play and come back and find redemption the very next drive. That's not who they are anymore. They're careless. Careless and undisciplined are the two words that come to mind when I think about this version of the Buffalo Bills. It's not a lack of heart. It's not a lack of effort. Though sometimes I think teams that are really good and have had a lot of success like the Bills have, I think they can get in that space where they think, no matter what we do, we can make up for it. Or we just show up. We're talented. We're aggressive. We're athletic. We're great. We'll just show up and that's what wins the games. Again, I don't think it's a lack of heart or desire. I think at times we see them a little tight now. The idea of caving under the weight of their own pressure was brought up to Sean McDermott following the game, and he said, I don't see any of that. And it's a hard thing to measure, right? Pressure is an intangible. It's an intangible weight. You kind of know it when you see it. But in the moment, a team doesn't recognize that's what's happening. After the fact, they might talk about pressure. But this team has been in so many big situations. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And maybe that is the answer. When I say to you, how do you explain the Buffalo Bills? Maybe your response is, I can't. But there are a few measurable metrics, measurable gauges. There are a few ways that you can explain what's happening with the Bills. One of those is turnovers. And while you can look at their game against the Broncos on Monday night and say, they only gave up 6 points off the four turnovers. Well, yay for the defense. That's exceptional considering that the defense is missing several major pieces, key pieces. To limit a team to just 6 points, two field goals after four turnovers is massive. Problem is, those are four possessions that the Bills came up empty and didn't have the chance to score. Another metric to look at is how slow they start out in games, even at home. Maybe the crowd was nervous. It didn't seem like a crowd that's typical of Bills Mafia or Highmark Stadium, what we're used to. Maybe there is an edginess to it, an oblique component to it. Recognizing that this feeling's all too familiar. Kind of tension, this edginess. But another metric that you can measure is how few points they score in the first quarter. Part of the issue is your very first drive, your very first snap of your very first drive is a fumble. That's not optimal. And in the first half alone, mistake after mistake that takes your opportunities and hands them to the other team.
25-yard line, shotgun snap to Josh Allen, sets up, packs his right arm, goes far sideline, intercepted, picked off by Moreau, leaping two-handed grab at the 50, goes down the sideline to the 40 and out of bounds. Another turnover by Buffalo. Second interception thrown by Allen, third in the first half. Turnover's the problem. Ross addressed it before the game, and Denver's going to get it with 37 seconds to go, and the ball will be placed inside the 35-yard line of the Bills at the 31.
They couldn't even get off the field. 1 minute to go. They couldn't even get off the field. Another interception, third turnover, as you're here with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One with just 37 seconds left in the half. They start the half with the turnover, they end the half with the turnover. Now, they did tie the game. And maybe at that point could take a deep breath and exhale and think, all right, we avoided the worst of it. And in that moment, it's true. You commit three turnovers in the first half, but in the third quarter, you're able to tie the game. Oh yeah, you definitely dodged a bullet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How do you explain the Bills? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we actually put the post up just to see what kind of reaction we could get. In the third quarter, Josh Allen has a botched handoff with his running back, James Cook. And that's his third turnover. It is charged to Josh. It's just, again, inexplicable, careless, and lack of discipline. Denver does go three and out, though. And so it was yet another turnover. I was convinced at that point that the Broncos had wasted too many opportunities. And yeah, just when you thought all hope was lost, this is what the Bills do. They finish strong. They remind you what they're capable of.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left. We're here with 2 minutes to go. Here's the snap, fakes the handoff. Allen looking for the end zone, going to run it to the left pylon. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen uses those big daddy long legs.
That's all you need to know. The big daddy long legs.
Big daddy long legs.
We just thought it would be great to cut it off right there. You don't need to hear anything else after Chris Brown says big daddy long legs on the Bills radio network. Oh, but it was just about to get juicy. The Broncos, again, not capitalizing on their opportunities. They leave too many points on the field. Bills take the lead. What was it? 2 minutes to go? I think it was 1:55 left in the game. The defense has been playing well for Buffalo. Broncos get the ball back. They're able to convert a third and six. Russell Wilson played really well. Number of times that he extended plays and avoided pressure and was able to find an open man. He looked fluid. He looks a lot better than he did a year ago. So they convert one third and down, and then on their ensuing second down, so the Broncos get to a second down, there's a big sack. Forces a third and long for Denver. And Russell Wilson lobs this ball up in the air. He sees Jerry Jeudy behind his defense. He lobs the ball up in the air, and the Bills defender commits a pass interference penalty, grabs him, right? Trying to prevent the easy TD. But that one was just as damaging. A 30-yard penalty, essentially. And right away, the Broncos are in field goal range. They kneel down once, kneel down twice, force the Bills to use the rest of their timeouts, and then weirdly enough, kneel down again. I don't know why. Our guest, Ross Tucker, who called the game with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, said, why not just throw the ball out of bounds? That way you stop the clock. Instead, they do a Chinese fire drill, which is what I call it. They kneel down, cannot stop the clock, hustle their kicking team onto the field, only have 7 seconds remaining at that point, and it looks like mass chaos. Like, that's honestly what's happening. It looks like total mass chaos.
And now they got to hurry the team onto the field to try to kick a game-winning field goal. 15 seconds, 14 seconds. This is going to be a 41-yarder from the right hash. 10 seconds, 9 seconds, 8. Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick is on the way. There's a flag on the play. And it's no good.
What's the flag?
12 men on defense. 5-yard penalty. Still fourth down.
So the field goal was no good, but it's negated by 12 men on the field.
From the category of you can't make this stuff up, have you ever in your life seen too many men on the field, a penalty called against a team after its opponent missed what would have been a game-winning kick? Some of you have seen a lot more football than me. Never seen that before. Inexplicable. And the face that Josh Allen makes, so his hands are on his head, and he's incredulous. Of course, then they have to stand there and watch Will Lutz line up for a second attempt.
This ball spotted far hash at the 26, an attempt of 36 yards for the win. Lutz kicks it on the way, and it is good! The Broncos can celebrate because they have come to Buffalo and upset the Bills by a final score of 24-22.
Dave Logan on Broncos Radio. Take nothing away from Denver. I know in sports radio, a lot of times we focus on the negative. It makes the more scintillating and sexy discussions. But the Denver Broncos, long way to go. But the fact that they allowed the Dolphins to put 70 on them 6 weeks ago and did not fold up like a cheap tent, since then they've won 4 of 6, including 3 in a row. They've beaten the Chiefs in a game in which the Chiefs had a bunch of turnovers, and now they beat the Bills in Buffalo. And so there is something to be said for making progress, for actually being able to gauge yourself against the better teams in your conference.
I think Coach Payton has done a great job of, you know, changing this culture and really impacting us as, you know, as players. The whole coaching staff has been amazing. You know, we're in this thing together. You know, we're battling together. We're fighting together. And, you know, we believe in us, you know, and I know Broncos country believes in us too.
So Russell Wilson, not great numbers. You're not looking at eye-popping offensive player of the week type of performance, but the defense has played incredibly well. And this 3-game win streak for the Broncos is their longest since early 21. And so Broncos fans will definitely take that. It's been some bleak seasons since Super Bowl 50. The Broncos have forced 16 takeaways in their last 5 games. Justin Simmons, by the way, longest tenured Bronco. And he picked off Josh Allen for his 30th career interception.
I freaked out. I went to go grab my helmet, went to go celebrate with Will, but then saw half our whole team was surrounding him. I said, well, I'm not going to get in there. And just went around and, you know, shook a couple of guys' hands that I'm close with and that I look up to and admire, you know. And so it just feels so good to win, man. I'm just sitting here thinking about the adversity that we hit and, you know, how everyone kind of answered the bell there and just proud of this team.
So Justin Simmons freaked out when the ball went through the uprights the second time. I heard an interview with Javonte Williams on Westwood One. He was talking to Kevin and Ross after the game, and he actually said he saw the first one go wide right and thought, dang, well, something along those lines, we lost. I mean, he thought they lost, and so he turned to grab his stuff, grab his helmet, and then realizes there's a flag on the play. Again, it almost can't believe it. And I'll go back to what I said to start the segment. The Bills have no one to blame but themselves. No one. It's these mistakes that you cannot make if you want to be a contender in the NFL. We already know the margin for error is so slim on any given Thursday, Sunday, Monday. That's certainly the case. But the Bills are playing fast and loose with the football. And there's only one team in the NFL that has more turnovers than they do. And that's the Cleveland Browns. Right now, between interceptions and fumbles, they've got 18 turnovers this season. 18. That's the same as the Bears and the Raiders. And one fewer than the Browns. And keeping in mind that Deshaun Watson has not played the entire season, Josh Allen has. This is beneath you, Josh Allen. Yeah, you definitely have had turnovers in the past. And it's not just Josh, so that's unfair. James Cook, he had a big fumble early in this game. So it's not just Josh. Gabe Davis had the ball go off his hands. I mean, it was a dart. But he had a ball go off his hands that was then intercepted. Josh definitely does throw interceptions. We know that. He's a go big or go home. He'd rather go big, even if it means there's a few moments that he wants back. And generally, they can make up for it. But not this year. Their offense is down. I wouldn't say it's anemic. That's too strong. But they're not taking advantage of their opportunities either. And the slow start, the turnovers, they just leave them with very little room. And so when you have penalties like they did at the end, well, that's how it goes. And now you're 5-5. And so, of course, Josh not happy. I mean, Sean McDermott might have been even more upset than Josh, if that's possible.
We practiced two or three times that this week, the substitution from dime to field goal block. And at the end of the day, we didn't execute it. So it's inexcusable. You can't turn the ball over, period, let alone four times, and field position can't start at the minus 40 or whatever it was, minus 41. It's not good enough.
I'm still confident, but it's no secret the clock's ticking, you know. Got to have some urgency now.
What leaves you
now
still confident in the offense after it's been so many weeks of kind of the same story here?
Because we've done it before.
I'm sure he didn't mean the now part, but that kind of jumped out at me. There's got to be a sense of urgency now. But in the AFC, we all knew coming in it was a stacked conference. We all knew that you were going to compete with the AFC North, with the Dolphins in your own division. Those are not big surprises. We knew the Jacksonville Jaguars had set themselves up last year. That's not a surprise. I mean, anybody surprised by the Chiefs anymore? If you are, then that's your problem. This was always going to be a buzzsaw and a major battle just to make the playoffs. Forget win your own division for the fourth straight year. So why just the sense of urgency now? Because they certainly haven't played like it. Even if that's not what Josh meant, they definitely have not played with that sense of urgency. And they've dropped 4 of 6. I mean, it's worth noting. The Bills and Raiders have the same record. Oh, and you know who else is 5-5 in the AFC? You ready? The Colts. I mean, come on. Bills fans, that's got to be insulting. Your team is the same record as the Colts, who started a rookie, and now Gardner Minshew. Or Meshaw. I mean, some people don't even know his name, for heaven's sakes.
The Colts are also well coached. And they have Meshaw. Very different offense with Meshaw.
Stop it. They have Meshaw, and you have Josh Allen.
Very confident backup.
What is wrong with this picture? I mean, that's embarrassing that the Colts and the Bills have the same record. I can't be the only one who thinks that's embarrassing. Wait until you hear what Josh Allen... Wait until you hear what Ross Tucker has to say about Josh Allen. I was going to say, what do you hear the Allen synopsis from Ross Tucker, but it didn't quite come out right.
Me sure.
Stop it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. How do you explain the Bills? I'm open to suggestions. And also on our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us. Good morning to you, even you Bills Mafia. It'll be a good day, I promise. The sun will come out on Tuesday, unless it snows in Buffalo.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Get the best workout with the best-kept secret in fitness. Hydro, the state-of-the-art at-home rower. Hydro engages 86% of your muscles, delivering the ultimate full-body workout in just 20 minutes. From advanced to beginner, Hydro has over 4,000 classes that are shot all over the world and are taught by Olympians and world-class athletes. For a 30-day risk-free trial with free standard shipping, go to Hydro.com and use code FIT500 to save up to $500. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT500.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I need a hero.
His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
Singletary motions out to the right. Empty backfield for CJ. On first and goal, Stroud gets the snap. CJ looking, scrambling forward. CJ on the run across the five. He's in! Touchdown, CJ Stroud! The quarterback with the touchdown run. And the Texans go back up two scores on Cincinnati.
You can tune in to what everybody else is saying, but they're not in our shoes. We're the men in the arena. We're the one lacing it up, taking the hits, doing what we have to do to win. It's a process throughout the week, man. I know, like, shout out to our families, man. Like, we put in a lot of work, and our families do a great job by supporting us.
It's impressive to see a young kid, right, make mistakes and grow from it in the same game, right? And for us to be able to come out with a win after, you know, some mistakes that he made and still be able to win the game and learn from it, it's much better to correct that after a win than a loss. So really proud of CJ, and he let me know that, hey, we got you.
I think this is a first on After Hours. Back-to-back Monday MVP honors for the rookie quarterback, CJ Stroud. Yeah, everybody's talking about him. If you missed it, Micah Parsons is talking about him on his podcast. He actually is touting him as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now. Producer Jay, do you agree with that? I know that you had a bit of a visceral reaction in there to that statement by Micah.
I will say I agree with, if we're talking about like literally right now, meaning quarterbacks who are healthy and unhealthy in the league, I think he is. I think he's top 10. I mean, like we've said, 10 rookie quarterbacks have started or played this year. I think CJ Stroud might be in the conversation.
No, 10 have started this year, yes. And so if you're talking about right now with Kirk Cousins out, with Aaron Rodgers out, with Daniel Jones out, although I think that most people would probably take CJ Stroud over Daniel Jones right now. If we're looking at the number of QBs that have missed time, Matthew Stafford's out, though he's expected to be back. Deshaun Watson is now dealing with an ankle. He got an MRI yesterday, so he could be out. So yeah, there's a real possibility that a lot of people would stick him in the top 10. Now, overall, if we're talking full complement of quarterbacks, all right, he's above average. He has incredible potential. I need to see a little more than 10 games. But the Texans are above 500, and that's huge. Mark Vandermeer with the calls, back-to-back game-winning drives in the final minute. And so the Texans are all the rage right now. D'Amico Ryans, if you missed my conversation with actually his former teammate, Seth Payne from our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610. I put the link up on both Twitter and Facebook. Interesting stuff about D'Amico, knowing him personally, and also about CJ Stroud and why it's clicking so quickly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to Ross Tucker here after the update, but a couple of other things that are worth noting for you. Jim Harbaugh does plan to speak, if they will allow him to, at the hearing to suspend his suspension. At the hearing to try to get his suspension tossed or at least delayed, The Big Ten has handed down the suspension. It happened Friday. He did have to miss the game against Penn State because they couldn't get into a court quickly enough. But now there is a hearing set for Friday, and Jim's not sure whether or not they'll allow him to testify, quote unquote, on his behalf. But man, he is all about it and fascinated with this court process.
That's not my dance floor. You know, I'm not the not an attorney. Always wanted to be. You know, watched a lot of shows, watched Judge Judy, you know, a lot.
My gosh.
But always kind of felt like it'd be cool to get up there and thunder away at a jury like Tom Cruise and A Few Good Men. Or be a judge, like Judge Judy, but alas, I did not go to law school.
Well, pop culture references he drops in there. We won't mix in the part about chickens, though. It's really funny. He did not respond directly to the allegations that he violated the Big Ten sportsmanship policy by sending a former employee, to other schools to scout, which is against the rules. You cannot send a coach to do advanced scouting or an actual scout. That's always been against the rules in the NCAA. So is this against the rules too? Former employee buys tickets as a fan, quote unquote. Except while it may not be a violation of the letter of the law, it's a violation of the spirit of the law. And so the Big Ten is tried to suspend him under the sportsmanship policy.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. So, by the way, Dallas is no longer America's team, at least according to Coach Harbaugh.
It's got to be America's team. It's got to be America's team. America loves a team that beats the odds, beats the adversity, you know, overcomes what the naysayers and, you know, critics, so-called experts think. That's my favorite kind of team. And yeah, watching it from that view on the television, it was finally people get to see what I see every day.
He's always been quirky. He is definitely the Harbaugh brother who's out on the fringe a little bit. And yet he can coach like nobody's business. You remember, or if you don't, I'll tell you, he was in the NFL. He was the coach of the San Francisco 49ers when they went to 3 straight NFC championship games. And he essentially lost a peeing on the fire hydrant contest with Trent Baalke. Baalke was his boss, and they did not see eye to eye, and there was friction, and there were two alpha males, and you're never going to win that contest with your boss. And so he was let go. And the Niners have not been the same since until they brought in Kyle Shanahan. And then, of course, they found their quarterback. It took them a few years. Well, and then they had a bunch of quarterbacks they liked, but they kept getting injured. Maybe this is the year for the Niners to get back to the Super Bowl. But to win one would be an entirely different story. Gosh, it's been generations. One more from college football. Texas A&M Athletics Director Ross Bjork finally spoke publicly about his decision to fire Jimbo Fisher.
I determined at this point, and for lots of reasons, our program is stuck in neutral. We should be relevant on the national scene. Something is not clicking. Something is not working, and therefore, something had to give in order for Aggie football to reach our full potential. As leaders, every decision we make or every decision we don't make has consequences. Consistency in how the program operates on a daily basis impacts the confidence level of every single person in the program and thus influences performance.
It is the pressure of the SEC, to be sure, but here's the price tag. The buyout on Jimbo Fisher's contract, $76 million. The majority of college football coaches don't have contracts that approach that, but that's the buyout. Texas A&M is willing to pay him $76 million to skedaddle, to go away. And that's nearly triple any other known coaching buyout at a public school, right? So you're talking about money that is Texas A&M, part of the state system, and they can write it off, but that's how big their football budget and how powerful their football is, that they're willing to pay this guy $76 million. And what Bjork went on to say is that it obviously means we need to make better decisions, at least investigate our decision-making process, because the financial implications are, this is his word, monumental. $76 million to do jack. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you want to vote for our TD of the week, you can find that poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also, my Twitter or our Facebook page, How Do You Explain the Buffalo Bills? Ross Tucker attempts to do.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop and save 40% site-wide plus doorbuster deals at Blinds.com's Black Friday early access sale happening now. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions, and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
Coming up next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
To win. Ball put down. Good snap. The right-footed kick is away and caught right through the middle. Dead solid perfect. And Denver wins it on a walk-off field goal, 24-22.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you didn't hear the call before that with Kevin Harlan and Ross Tucker on Westwood One, you need to grab it because they are incredulous, like pretty much anybody else who is watching the final minute of Monday Night Football. The Bills squander this opportunity and they lose in what is demoralizing fashion. And they're now 5-5. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Had a chance to catch up with Ross while he was driving from Buffalo back home. And so we kept him company. He kept us company. It was really nice. Bring back part of the conversation, not all of it. The rest you want to get on the podcast. We will have that link posted minutes after the show is done on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as our Facebook page. But here's his answer to the question of what is wrong with the Bills in 2023.
Several things, right? Number one, they just turned the football over way too much. Four more tonight. Two interceptions, two fumbles. And honestly, it could have been worse, Amy. I mean, Josh Allen threw a couple other passes that I thought were poor decisions, very much got in harm's way, and I did not like his decision to throw the football in those situations. So could have been even worse. And then, I mean, how about when James Cook is running down the middle of the field and the ball gets ripped out and bounces right back up to him? I mean, he was crazy fortunate in that situation. because it's an oblong ball. You never know what direction it's going to bounce. They turn the ball over too much. Even when they don't turn it over, they've got critical drops like we saw time and again. Kincaid had one, Latavius Murray, obviously the Gabe Davis one that went through his hands. I don't think that they're as talented as we think they are. You know, like Josh Allen's really talented. Stephon Diggs is really talented. Gabe Davis is not like a really good number two receiver. And think about some of the other good teams. Amy, he's not Devontae Smith, right? He's not, you know, Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. You know, he's definitely a step below. The same with their third receiver, Shakir. So I think the Bills are not as talented as everybody seems to think that they are. I think that's another part of it. And I also don't love a lot of the things they do offensively with Ken Dorsey. It feels like a lot of times, even when they are having success running the ball, they don't stick with it.
Why would they be taking a major step back from last season, though, Ross?
Well, that's a good question. I think defensively it's a little bit because of Milano and Tre'Davious White. Offensively, I don't have a great explanation for that other than the turnovers. And I think other teams also have gotten a little bit of a better feel for how to defend this iteration of the Bills.
It's interesting because we recently heard Kyle Shanahan talk about Brock Purdy and how he's willing to accept interceptions because he likes the fact that Brock is aggressive and he will air it out. He will sling it downfield. And I know there's some of that with Josh Allen and that Sean McDermott has said that in the past. The word that comes to mind is undisciplined across the board with an offense that shouldn't have so many problems.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And here's the thing, Amy. You know, if you look at the amount of turnovers that Josh Allen's had over the last 6 years, the amount that he's had over the last 2 years, it's the most in the NFL. And so we're kind of at a point, he's a different player, and it's a different situation, but we're kind of at the Carson Wentz point. He's a better player. I'm not comparing him in that way. But what I mean is we're at the point where this is just who he is now. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to fix it. It's not going to get better. I love him. I think he's a terrific player. He's very entertaining, all those things. But I think we just kind of have to acknowledge now at this point that he's going to turn the football over a lot. If he hasn't learned his lesson by now, he's just not going to.
When you have a situation like the Jets do with Zach Wilson, or even the Patriots do with Mac Jones right now, when you get frustrated, what do you do as someone who's watching this same scenario play out week after week after week?
As a fan, as a player, as a what?
As a player, yes, as a teammate.
Oh, man, it's really, really frustrating. So it's funny, in any situation like that, Amy, it's like if you're a star player or a star receiver or whatever, you are incredibly frustrated, annoyed, all of those things. But for a guy like me, you're really just focused on yourself, right? Because you know when things are this bad, there's going to be changes. And you want to make sure that either you're not part of the changes or that if you are part of the changes, that you're able to get picked up by some other team. I mean, those things really go through your head. Certainly you wish Mac Jones was playing better or Zach Wilson, and you're frustrated about that. But, man, you're thinking about what this means for your future moving forward because, you know, what's going to happen with Bill Belichick? What's going to happen with Saleh? I mean, I think people think he's safe, but I don't know. I don't know that he is. Probably is because Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So that's kind of the excuse if the Jets don't make the playoffs this year, and maybe understandably so. But that's absolutely the thought going through your head as a pro athlete. It's like self-preservation.
The Detroit Lions, they have assumed a brand new identity under Dan Campbell. What do you see with them that's so different from the Lions in the past?
Like everything. I mean, they're exciting. They're fun to watch. They believe. Alex Anzalone, their star linebackers from my hometown, I talked to him a bunch, and I think Dan Campbell his belief in those guys, the way that he's authentic and genuine, his passion, I think that really does go a long, long way, and that he deserves a lot of credit for their success. It's like he believes in them, Amy, and we all need people in life that believe in us, and he believes in those guys and what they're doing. And I think they feed off of his confidence a little bit. I really do.
Could that same thing be happening in Vegas with Antonio Pierce?
Yes. And ironically, it's funny. Both of those guys are former teammates of mine.
Wow.
Antonio and I were undrafted rookie free agents with Marty Schottenheimer together in 2001 in Washington. And then Dan and I were together in Dallas in 2003. And there's a lot of similarities between them in terms of their sort of their confidence, their swagger, their passion, the way they carry themselves. And I'm not surprised they're both having the success that they're having right now. I think players like when you're honest with them. I think players like when they know you don't have to be a former player. You know, Belichick's had a lot of success without being a former player, but I think it kind of helps knowing this guy's kind of done what we're doing.
Ross Tucker, you can hear him occasionally on Monday Night Football, though generally he does Sunday Night Football. Sometimes I hear him on Thursdays on Westwood One, and he's also done some games on CBS. Most notably, though, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And if you want to catch the rest of that conversation, we cover the AFC North. We talk about C.J. Stroud, and then the incredible development that is Josh Dobbs. And he actually has a personal story about how he got signed and had to start the very next week and how challenging and difficult it is. So make sure you check out the rest of that podcast. We post it minutes after the show is done on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page. While you're there, vote for TD of the Week. So that will run all the way through today. We're already to our hump show. Well, I mean, we will be the next time we talk to you, middle show of the work week. I promise stories. I've got some good ones. Oh, and I better not find any dead squirrels in my shed when I clean it out today. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat when one of the guests is found dead. Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
This holiday season, ask for concert and comedy tickets. Create your wish list at LiveNation.com. Choose from thousands of the hottest shows, including Chelsea Handler, Doja Cat, Jonas Brothers, New Kids on the Block, Niall Horan, Tim McGraw, and more. Just sign in, add your favorite shows, and send a helpful hint to family and friends. It's never been easier to get what you want. An unforgettable night out with your favorite artists. Create your wish list today at LiveNation.com/wishlist.
Hey there, football fans. I'm Brian Baldinger, and I'm thrilled to introduce you to The Best Football Show, a podcast that's an exhilarating journey through the world of the National Football League. Join me each weekday, breaking down those spine-tingling moments, dissecting top players, and offering my unique perspective. Prepare to get smarter about the game we all love with every episode of The Best Football Show, where the game comes to life. Huddle up with me for a football experience like no other. Follow The Best Football Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.